Today is Thursday, November 16th, 2017. My name is Kirby Fenwick and I'm joined today by Dr. Kate Sear. We'll be discussing the first game of the inaugural AFLW season played between Carlton and Collingwood on Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Thank you for being a part of this project.
That's okay, an absolute pleasure.
Let's start with a little bit of background. Can you tell me what role football has played in your life?
Yes, that's a big question. Well, I guess football's played a really important role in my life, like sport generally, actually. I grew up in a sports-loving family. Both of my parents are really obsessed with sports of all kinds. So right throughout my childhood, actually, many of my fondest memories were, staying up into the middle of the night watching Pat Cash win Wimbledon or watching Stefan Edberg win Wimbledon, that kind of thing. And I actually grew up on the Gold Coast. So I was a huge AFL fan, actually, right throughout my childhood. My parents are both from Victoria, and I was actually born in Victoria, but growing up on the Gold Coast, it was very difficult to get much AFL content, but whenever we could, we did. And because I'm a Hawthorn supporter, we won a number of premierships during the 1980s, so my childhood was filled with really joyful memories, actually, of us winning the grand final.
And what about women's football? Had you had much to do with or known much about women's football prior to the AFLW?
Yeah, I knew a bit about women's football before the AFLW started. I had some friends who played local women's footy, not sort of super competitively, but who were pretty good women's footballers. And so I had taken a little bit of an interest in what was going on and their experiences. But to be honest, I was not hugely knowledgeable about women's footy until, I guess, the year or so before the advent of the AFLW, when it was clear that the AFLW was coming. I really started to take an interest in who was playing and the history of the game and, the kind of key players and so on. And I found that, I guess, that build up in the year leading up to the first game to be one of, really kind of getting my teeth into learning who was who and to getting across the whole game in anticipation for the first bounce in February of 2017.
And can you tell me how you felt when the AFLW competition was announced in 2016?
Shocked, actually. When the competition was first announced, I was shocked, because I think there was initially a plan for an AFLW to be underway from 2020. But Bill McLaughlin announced that he was bringing that forward and that the competition would start in 2017. So I actually just was very surprised that it was happening and that it was happening so quickly. I was really excited about the prospect of women's footy. I guess I became more excited, to be honest, as we got closer and closer to the first game. But I was also, I had a bit of trepidation, actually, about how it would play out. And I think you only had to have a look at, kind of social media reactions and responses to that announcement to know why. I didn't have any concerns about the women and their ability to play and the fact that there would be an audience for the game. But I just feared the kind of vitriol, I guess, that might be directed towards women and towards women's sport that you might get from a sector of the public. And I worried about how the women who were involved would experience that and how they would cope with it.
Let's go to the lead up to that first game. When did you decide that you wanted to go to that first game?
Oh, from the moment I think, I'll incorporate your question. I decided that I wanted to go to that first game from the moment that the fixture was announced, actually. I knew that it was going to be a really historic event, and as a massive footy fan, one that I didn't want to miss. We might come to talking about it in a moment, because as it turns out, I didn't get to go. I did miss out. But I wanted to definitely go to that game. I actually had been to a couple of the exhibition games the year before, and I had never experienced an atmosphere like that at the footy. It was incredible, really. There was such a it's really hard to describe, to articulate what that felt like to go to women's footy in the months leading up to the first match, but there was a community vibe, and it just felt very different. It felt very different. It felt like a joyful sort of atmosphere being at a women's game. And so I definitely couldn't wait for the season to start to be at more football that felt like that.
And why did you want to be there? Why did you feel like that was a game that you needed to attend?
Well, I felt like it was a game that I needed to attend because it was historic, first and foremost. And I've been to a few historic sporting events in my life. I went actually to see Cadel Evans win the Tour de France in Paris on the final day. And that was something that I kind of moved mountains to get to, because I'm a huge cycling fan. And, I will remember doing that for the rest of my life. And so for me, going to the AFLW felt like something very similar. But also to be honest, there was a part of me that worried as it kind of got closer and closer to the advent of the season, worried about how many people would go and whether it was going to be well supported. I know in hindsight a lot of people say, oh, I never doubted it for a moment, and it was always going to be massive and it's always going to be enormous support of the game. But a little part of me worried about whether or not that would be true, and I knew that if the AFLW appeared to fail, in inverted commas, in any way, on any measure, that segment of the population that I spoke about earlier, that segment of the population that is very quick and very keen to challenge women's ascendancy in any segment of social life, including sport, would be up and about. And so I really wanted to go and to support as many games as I could during the season, just because I thought there was some strength in numbers and that was important.
Let's go back to the week leading up to that first game. There was a lot happening that week. What are your memories of that week leading up to the first game?
Oh, I think the week leading up to the first game was absolutely thrilling. It was kind of like grand final week in the men's competition in a way. And there was, I think like most people who were supporters of AFL football or women's AFL, I felt very, very positive in the lead up to the game, and I couldn't wait for it to start. And I think there was a growing sense that the game was going to be well attended and that it was going to go well. And I think the AFL made what turns out to have been an excellent decision to have not only moved the game to the venue they moved it to, but also to pit Carlton against Collingwood. I think that added to... I spoke before about the feeling that going to women's footy in 2016 kind of felt like going to a community game. And I guess what it also was about was that women's football has felt kind of nostalgic and old-fashioned in a sense. And I think, in that final week building up to it, it felt like there was a clash between Carlton and Collingwood, and that was a traditional rivalry in the men's game that was being kind of reinvigorated for the women's game. It just kind of felt old and new at the same time, and there was something really fantastic about that.
So let's go to the game. You mentioned that you didn't get in. Can you tell me what happened? What happened the night of the first AFLW game?
Yeah, well, there's a very simple reason, unfortunately, why I didn't get to go to the game, and that's because I felt sick. So I had planned to go with my family, with my mum and my sister and my partner, but I was unwell. So I was not one of those many thousands of people that was locked out, but I may well have been if I had gotten to the game and tried to get in. So I actually watched the game from home, on the couch, kind of rugged up, and yeah, so it was a different experience. It was slightly disappointing in a way not to be able to be there, but it felt no less monumental to be experiencing it.
So you're sitting there at home watching this game unfold. What are you thinking and feeling? What's going through your mind?
I guess as I was watching it, what was going through my mind more than anything was absolute joy that so many people turned up and that it was so well supported. That was the main thing. That was the main emotion. As we got ready for the first bounce, and I was watching that unfold on TV and also looking on Twitter and getting some messages from some of my friends who were there, it became very clear that there were thousands of people who couldn't get in and that the ground was filled to capacity. And that I felt so emotional about that. And again, it just comes back to the fact that, I think the value of women's sport is not or should not be, judged or determined by how many people watch it or how many people engage with it. But for better or worse, this was something that had to be taken into account. Were people going to take an interest in this game? And as I said earlier, it was, for me, it was just that there would probably be a number of naysayers if people didn't take an interest in the game. So I just hoped that they would. And I was actually overjoyed by how enthusiastic people were, but also too then just the quality of the game. As I sat there and watched it, the quality of the game was something to behold, and Darcy Vesio in particular put on an incredible display. And I had seen her play before, and I knew that she was a superstar, but I also knew that there was a very large sector of the population, including young men and women and young boys and girls who probably had never seen a woman play football before, and had never seen a woman play that well. And the fact that she did, and that she, I mean, there are a number of women who played really well that night, but for me, watching Darcy Vesio put on an incredible performance, I just think was absolutely magical, and I was so delighted to watch it because I felt like there's probably a whole sector of the community, but particularly young people, men and women, boys and girls, who would be watching that saying, geez, okay, women can play.
Speaking about the game, do you have any memories of the game? I guess beyond Darcy, everybody remembers Darcy. Is there anything about the game that has sort of stuck in your mind?
Oh, I think a number of things about the game stuck in my mind. There are a number of, as I said earlier, there are a number of women who played really well. It's hard to get past Darcy because she did dominate so much. I guess, actually, more than anything, what stands out in my mind is not something about the play as much as it is about the spectacle. I remember because it was February, because it was summer, it was a beautiful day. And because of the timing of the game, sort of, at kind of twilight, I guess, you know, just the kind of brilliant sun fading to sort of dusk and into night, and seeing a full stadium. It's just those, the kind of visual spectacle of the game and the stadium filtered capacity is what will stay with me most of all, I think.
When you reflect on that first game now, what does it mean to you?
I guess the first game means to me, I don't know, it's a difficult question. I feel probably some of the stuff that I've talked about already is, you know, I guess, you know, hearing me reflect on what it was like to in the build-up to that game and then what the game was like, that sort of implies the sorts of things that are stuck in my mind about the game. Things like the joy of the crowd, the big crowd, all of those things, you know, I think, I guess what it means to me now in retrospect is that women's sport, or women's football more particularly, is now finally something that's really lodged in the national imagination and is valued and supported, and that women of that, the women who played in that game are now rightly recognised as highly talented athletes. So I guess in a sense, yeah, what the game means to me is that all of those things that I value about women's place in society and women being recognised and acknowledged for having abilities and skills and talents, all of those things were recognised and validated on that night, and that's very special to me.
And what about more broadly in the context of the wider Australian community? What do you think having an AFLW competition means?
Well, I think having an AFLW competition means a lot to the broader community in this country. You know, rightly or wrongly, I know not everybody will like this observation, but I think rightly or wrongly, we're a country that values sport very highly. It's kind of weaved into the fabric of this nation. But traditionally, men's sports have been valued much more highly than women's, and women have struggled to obtain opportunities and to achieve visibility in sport, in all walks of life, but including in sport. And in that sense, sport's a kind of mirror for and metaphor for what goes on in society more generally. And so I think for a lot of people in the Australian community, seeing women finally get that opportunity in what I consider to be our national game, our Indigenous game, was symbolically hugely significant. It was a reminder that women are entitled to these kinds of opportunities, that women are valued, that women are capable, and also too that the kind of stereotypes that continue to dominate socially about women's bodies and women's capacities and so on are problematic and need to be troubled and destabilized and unsettled. And I think a lot of people in the Australian community recognize that. Certainly a lot of people that I've spoken to about that game, or people that I are friendly with and people I know who watched that game, felt that it was a very important symbolic moment of destabilizing and recalibrating how we come to think about women.
Pretty significant.
Yeah.
Why did you want to be a part of this documentary?
Well, I wanted to be a part of the documentary because I think it's very important for the historic record that we spend some time reflecting on the AFLW, and particularly on that first game and on what it means for us as a nation. You know, my view is just one among many, and it's no more or less valuable than other people, but I feel like I have had the opportunity over the last year through the work that I have done on our podcast to just get a little bit of a sense of what AFLW has meant to people. And as I said earlier as well, you know, kind of quite separately from what it means to people, whether people are conscious of that or not, or whether it registers with them consciously or not, the AFLW has played a really important symbolic role. And I believe very strongly that symbolism is not merely symbolism, but that symbolism is productive and that it does something. It actually changes the world around us and has the capacity to really help to kind of advance social progress. And so I think it's very important to do what you're doing, Kirby, which is to, you know, take some time out and to think back and reflect upon what that moment or those series of moments leading up to Adelaide winning the grand final, which I was delighted about because I was supporting Adelaide, to kind of spend some time reflecting on those moments and what they really mean for the nation, because I think, that the AFLW has done something to Australia, and I think it will continue to do something in the world, and I think that's very special and important.
I couldn't agree more. It's it's like a kind of magic or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to next year, about next year, AFLW season two?
I'm looking forward to heaps of things about season two of AFLW. I guess most of all, just to seeing how some particular players have developed. There's a lot of incredible, particularly young talent in the AFLW, and I'm really excited to see how those women develop in their game. So women like Libby Birch and Ed Marinoff, who are both already very good players but who are also very young. And I guess I'm looking forward to, because I'm interested in seeing what happens with the public response to the game. I'm really interested in seeing, you know, whether the kind of feel that AFLW had in the first season, that kind of community nostalgic feel that I was talking about earlier, whether that continues or whether it starts to kind of morph into something slightly different, and you know, whether kind of traditional rivalries and so on that exist in the men's game start to kind of become more entrenched in the women's game. So I'm just really interested in seeing how it develops. You know, because I'm just a massive fan of Bec Goddard and Sarah Perkins in particular, I'm really interested in seeing how they go, and I'm hoping that Bec Goddard can go back-to-back, which is maybe a bit controversial, I guess. It would be nice if another team won, but I'd like to see Adelaide win it again.
If it can't be the Bulldogs, I'm happy for Adelaide to win. When you think back now about... that's okay.
Yeah, sorry.
You're right. When you think about that night now, is there a favourite moment that has stayed with you?
I don't think I have a single favourite moment that stayed with me, to be honest. Nothing that I could say that has stuck with me over and above any other. You know, throughout my life watching football, I'm a bit of a sort of football nerd. You know, I can talk about games that happened 20 years ago and a particular play or a certain tackle or something that I thought was amazing and that really stand out in my mind. And, you know, in the men's competition, I can name kind of a dozen such examples, probably almost all Hawthorn examples, being a Hawthorn supporter. But with that first game, no. Actually, when I think about it, no, nothing stands out. And that's not because there wasn't anything worthy. You know, I can, as I'm talking to you now, I'm reflecting on it, I can picture in my mind some of those Darcy Vesio goals. I can picture her actually running in to goal and celebrating in front of the crowd, and how incredible those moments felt watching it. Like, it was just absolutely joyous. I felt so delighted watching it. But they actually don't stand out as sort of, you know, the moments of the game to me, in a way that, say, you know, Cyril Rioli's tackle on the wing in the 2008 grand final does. And I guess that's for a couple of reasons. One is because I wasn't really heavily invested in either team on the night. I didn't care who won, because I was much more committed to the sport as a whole and the women. I wanted the women as a collective to succeed. And so I was delighted by the spectacle of it, but I wasn't kind of as invested in the play-by-play, in that, if that makes sense. But the other reason was because, for me, because it wasn't also just about the game and the result. It wasn't about the result on the scoreboard. I was kind of taking in everything else. So, like, if you ask me what kind of things stick out in my mind, strangely enough, one of the things that sticks out in my mind most from that night is watching the footage on TV of Gil McLachlan going outside himself, outside to the fans who had been locked out, and apologising. Like, that actually sticks in my mind just because of what it meant. What it meant for, you know, for the fact that that game had been, was, and reached capacity, and thousands of people couldn't have gotten in. That was, to me, like, a very powerful and very emotional moment for me. So it's kind of just a collective of things. None of them I value more highly than the other. They were all, it was all just a series of things which together, kind of, this, you know, as a whole, were incredible.
Was it an emotional experience?
Yeah, it was definitely an emotional experience. Absolutely. From start to finish, really. You know, because it was so successful, but because people came, because the women played well, because the game was a great game. It was a tight game for a while, and then it was a kind of spectacular, you know, kind of busting open of in a play. It was, you know, just so many things. It was really, yeah, it was a profoundly emotional experience, more than I realised it would be. And that was from, you know, that really started from the moment that I think maybe I saw on Twitter sort of some rumblings that started to suggest that people were walking towards the ground in their, like, thousands and thousands. And, you know, I kept thinking of, it's a bit of a cliche, but, you know, we had talked about it. I talked about it with my girlfriends the year before when we went to the to that final exhibition match at Witten Oval, like, you know, that line from Field of Dreams when they say, if you build, you know, if you build it, they will come. And it was like that. I was like, you know, yeah, they've come, people have come. And, yeah, I found that particularly moving.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking with me and for sharing your memories and thoughts with this project.
That's all right, Kirby. It's a pleasure. Hopefully I made a bit of sense in between my kind of cold-induced fog. I don't know, I was a bit rambly for a while there because I feel slightly out of sorts, but hopefully it made enough sense anyway for you to make something of it.
No, it was great. It was really great. Thank you.